Amen. That was a beautiful, fitting song for the series we're doing. How many are there like our Jesus? No, not one. No, not one. None who cares so much. None who's so kind, who's so loving, but yet also so holy and so righteous. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you for the Christ whom we can know and love and serve and follow. Lord, thank you for your word that makes it so clear and plain and lays out for us so many things that we just would stumble around in the dark trying to find our way without. Lord, I pray as we come to this time, as we open your word, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would stir in each one of our hearts, Lord, that we might be drawn close to this Savior, that we might be deeper in love with this Savior by the end of today than we were at the beginning of today. Lord, that our lives might be a course trending closer and closer to you. Lord, that's my prayer and my desire for each person here, including myself. In Jesus' name, amen. We are ready for part five of What Manner of Man Is This? Looking at the character, the personality, and the work that Jesus Christ, specifically right now through his names that he's called in Scripture. And when I was first preparing this, there was a lot of different names that came to my mind, and I realized, well, some of those are just from songs and hymns, which they're true, they're good, but it's hard to find an actual verse of Scripture where you would find that exact wording or concept. But we've been looking at who is Christ through his names. Who is this man? Who is this Savior? What manner of man is this? We've looked, just to quickly recap, we've looked at him as the bread of life, the water of life, and the breath of life. The three essentials of life for a human being is food, water, and air. Christ fulfills all of those. We've looked at him as the chief cornerstone on which you can build your life solid, secure. We've looked at him as the way, the truth, the life, which again would be kind of a wrap up of what we had talked in the first three, right? So the bread and the water and the breath is the essential elements of life. So surprise, surprise, he's also is the life. We looked at him as the door, the only way to come in, the only way to come in and be safe and go in and out and find pasture, to find life and to find it more abundantly. We looked at him as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, the only one who loves the sheep that deeply that he self-sacrifices everything for them. We looked at him as Emmanuel, God with us, not just standing looking over our shoulder, not just near us, not just someone we can come to, but with us. We looked at him as the high priest who is able to enter into the Holy of Holies, the only one qualified to stand before God to present a sacrifice that would be acceptable, the only one who was qualified to walk not only into an earthly representation of the Holy of Holies, but into the real Holy of Holies itself in heaven before God, present a sacrifice that was acceptable and not be killed because he was worthy, he was righteous. We looked at him as the Lamb of God, as being the one who was that sacrifice, whose blood could atone and did atone. We touched on that again this morning. So beautiful in Hebrews chapter 10. That whole passage, just, it's so hard to stop. We always find ourselves running up on quitting time for that first service, partly because we get talking in the first part with prayer requests and praises, but partly because there's so much meat there, it's so hard to stop. We looked at him as the lion who is conquering, who has all power and all authority, who before whom no enemy can stand. We looked at him as the Word, the very essence of all that God has to say to humanity, and all the heart of God expressed to us is expressed to us through him. We looked at him as the light of the world, the one who not only gives light to our path, but dwelling in us, he himself is light, and he lightens our whole life. He lightens our path. He lightens our lamp for our feet and a light to our path. And we looked briefly at how Scripture so many times intertwines light and life, because light is so essential to life. And then we looked at him as the true vine, the source of all true strength, power, life, and the importance of staying connected and tied in and truly drawing from him and realizing, if I don't stay connected to the vine, I'm going to find myself out of gas and dead just as surely and just as quickly as a vacuum that you pulled the plug from the wall, because the source of power is gone, the source of life is gone, the source of that vacuum doesn't have anything in itself that could generate life and energy. It's just a means by which the electricity comes from the wall and does the work on the floor. We are branches plugged into Christ Jesus as the true vine, drawing from him all the strength, all the life that we need to do the things, to live the life that he calls us to live, and to stay close, to stay connected. Now I want to start this morning looking at the next one that I have here, is Jesus as the great physician. Jesus as the great physician. Mark chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. Jesus here dealing with his age-old enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees, who are constantly trying to cut his legs out of under him, constantly trying to discredit him, constantly trying to make him look bad, look ungodly, look like he's not connected to God. Mark chapter 2, verse 16 through 17, it says, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Why would he do that? If this man is so righteous, if this man is truly who he says he is, why is he hanging out with such terrible people? Well, of course, you and I are very thankful that Jesus is willing to hang out with terrible people, right? Because I'm one. And if we're honest, we're all terrible people outside of regeneration. I remember several different times as my kids were growing up, and you know, kids like to play good guys and bad guys. And I remember them saying, "Well, no, I'm the good guy." And just realizing, and on occasion sitting and chatting with them, you know, nobody is the good guy in reality. No human being is a good guy. Oh, they're bad guys. Yeah, so am I. But for the grace of Christ that would reach out to me anyway, I'm the bad guy. I'm not the good guy in any interactions between me and God. God didn't come to save me because I was the good guy. God came to save me out of mercy and love for the bad guy, because he wanted to do something in me and for me that I couldn't do for myself. So So he says here in verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole or well have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I've said before, if you and I are not willing to see ourselves as sinners and realize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior, we're no candidate. We're not a candidate for salvation. If you are talking to somebody and they say, oh, I'm pretty good. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was getting ready to tell you the good news that there's a Savior who loves you and died for you and made a way for you to be cleansed, but he didn't die for you if you're not a sinner. He died for sinners. Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. And of course, in all honesty, we're all sinners, right? But Jesus was speaking here specifically to them because they thought they didn't need a physician. They thought they weren't sinners. They thought they didn't need salvation. And Jesus said, then it's not for you. I didn't come to call you. If you don't need a Savior, I'm not here for you. If you don't need a doctor because you realize you're sick, this message isn't for you. Jesus came to heal. And if you don't need healing, you don't need Jesus. Jesus didn't come just as hospice to make me comfortable. Jesus came as a physician to heal, to cleanse, to truly get me back to where God created humanity to be. And we fell in the Garden of Eden, and we have not been in that relationship or that place with God since. And Jesus came as the doctor, the only physician who could come in and could take care of and pay for and cut out this cancer of sin and actually restore us to health, which is to know God and to have fellowship with Him, to actually restore us to life. And Jesus says, not just life, but life abundantly. Jesus came as a doctor for sick people. Jesus didn't come just to make me feel comfortable. Jesus didn't come just to make life a little bit better. He came for those who needed it desperately. And I needed it desperately. And guess what? Not just needed, but I need it desperately every day. I need my doctor cleansing, healing, restoring, revitalizing daily. Because I still live in this fallen world, right? There's sin and death all around me. There's sin and death trying to rise up constantly in me. And without my great physician finding those things, shining a light on it, pointing it out, dealing with it by His grace, by His strength, as I surrender, I'm lost. We get this idea so many times, and I've heard people express it in various different ways, not necessarily thinking of it as a wrong or an incorrect thing, but expressing more or less the idea, well, I'm not there anymore. Yeah, I used to be there. I used to, you know, have a lot of problems, but now I'm a saint. And there's a way in which, yes, absolutely, Scripture does call us saints, but not saints on our own merit and not saints that don't still need to be continually cleansed and washed and upheld by our Savior. Because guess what? There's another reality, is that I'm also still a sinner who still needs an active, living Savior. Jesus didn't just reset us back to zero. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Why? Because I need it. Ever lives. He's constantly living and working to make intercession for us because we constantly need it. I love the song I've sang many times as a special. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And but for that grace, even for a moment, I'm lost. I'm lost. If God removed his grace from me, even for a moment, I'm lost. This isn't a great physician you go to when you're deathly ill and he gets you better and now you go live the rest of your life. This is a great physician who you must come back to regularly, because guess what? Your sickness is not going to be fully, completely gone until the presence of sin is completely gone after you've passed from this life. Until your flesh has finally, fully, ultimately been destroyed in death and you don't have it clinging on anymore and you get a new body fully filled with nothing but life and holiness from Christ. While I live in this world, while I live in this body, I need a great physician, not once, not twice, not a thousand times, but moment to moment, I need a Savior who not only cares, but knows what to do about it. He understands all the nuances of the sickness that plagues my life from the grave, from the cradle to the grave. And he knows how to deal with it. And he knows the antidote. He knows the proper medicine. He knows what to do to give me not just life, but life more abundantly. Not just that's coming, but right now. Through his grace and his power and his doctorship, his great physicianness. He is the great physician who cleanses and purifies on an ongoing basis. I've said it before, I say it again. If I was to have got reset back to zero with my account with God, and that was all Christ did, it would have lasted me at most a few seconds before I was in need of a Savior again. I am in need of a great physician who is constantly on call. Not just on call, but who's promised not only he'll come whenever I need him, but he'll never leave me to begin with. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He's with me moment by moment. His Spirit dwells in me. And as things arise, he'll prick my conscience. Oh, you shouldn't have reacted that way. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought those thoughts. You shouldn't have allowed those things to fester. And he's constantly working with me to purify, to sanctify, to conform me to the image of Christ. And it's a long process because I'm a lot different than what I ought to be. Thank God I'm a lot different than when I was when I started this process.